This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
It is the Gas House Gang until 1 o'clock, and we're glad you're with us as the Cardinals are well underway with spring training ongoing. The official report date has already happened for pitchers and catchers. The official report date for position players coming up next week, but a lot of guys already in camp, and we're glad to be bringing along Cardinals baseball coverage to you. Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly are joining us on the show from Florida.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof, we always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, boys, spring training is happening right now, and we've got this is basically a new era of Cardinals baseball, as we have talked a lot about during the offseason, the direction of the team, where they are in the context of the division and of the National League and what they're trying to accomplish. And you both, and we'll start with Claibs here, it's the first chance we've had to talk with you about the new facilities, which are not totally done yet, but from everything I have heard, it looks really nice in Florida and should be able to help the organization in big ways down the road.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and anything is better than nothing. There's six guys here that were with the Cardinals or around the Cardinals when they were in St. Petersburg. And we were all talking about this individually, about the changes that we've seen. And, you know, the facility here has held up well since 1996, and they hadn't really done much to it other than painted, maybe a few new chairs and furniture. But this is a complete overhaul. It's reminiscent of what they have in West Palm Beach. Not as big of a scale, but they have every tool they would ever think about having as far as making sure players are in a position to be able to perform at the highest level.
And the question is going to be, how much better, Claibs and Ranj, can the tools in this facility make players?
Because yeah,
the Cardinals have been passed up in recent years by other organizations who were better at player development, better at making players the best version of themselves. And Chaim Bloom talked about it a little bit yesterday. He said, you know, maybe you turn a really good player into an all-star. Maybe you turn a fringe player into a guy who can be an everyday contributor. Yeah. If you're able to get those marginal push forwards on just about every player in the organization, that's going to strongly impact things in a positive way.
Yeah, and you know, let's be clear here. These facilities are not designed to enhance a Hall of Famer, okay? You have to have a little talent in order to be here. But I think what it does is really zero in on the best things you can do and also zeroes in on things that can make you better. And they have all those things at their disposal with the ability to grow even more if they need to.
So how much different, and I know Matt, well, both of you have been around other facilities around baseball. How does this one right now, as best you can tell, compare to some of the others? Now that there are renovations ongoing and improvements happening.
Well, I still think the one down the street in West Palm Beach is very impressive. Man, they have a lot more real estate to work with. The one in Port St. Lucie, they made some improvements to that one as well. But, you know, those are the only ones we actually see on this side of the state. So to try and compare what they're doing over on the other side, I couldn't really give you a good answer on that. I just like what I see. And, you know, and it's a really good question, Chris, because we spend so much time in our own facility that we don't really get a chance to go around and tour the other ones. Now, I've seen the Houston one when they first opened. I've seen the Mets. But, you know, we don't go to Clearwater. We're not in Sarasota. So what they're doing, I don't know. But I think everybody probably has at some point made some attempts to rearm themselves. Remember when we had the exodus of some teams that left to go to Arizona, and we had some teams that decided to move from one town in Florida to another, and with that came improvements. So I think most of these ballparks and most of these places, and by the way, Matt, I'm told that they now have TrackMan, in down the street in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, we're looking.
So we don't need, have somebody counting pitches for us.
That's good. I do think from like a technological standpoint and infrastructure standpoint, what it does more than anything else is it catches the Cardinals up.
Yeah.
You can only push technology so far. And actually, Major League Baseball is putting some new things in where a lot of the Major League Baseball technology vendors are going to be going through Major League Baseball as opposed to the teams making decisions for themselves. So Major League Baseball is going to start legislating more and more and more what technology teams are going to be able to use. I think the Cardinals are going to, like many teams in baseball, push that as far as you can. They've been caught up. Klaibs and I talked with Dan Good on last night's Countdown to Opening Day show, and I thought it was interesting because he mentioned the fact that they went and toured a bunch of the spring training facilities in Arizona to take a look at what they were doing. So they were familiar and comfortable with what was going on in Florida. And that's kind of where I think a lot of the teams in Arizona are the ones that have been pushing it in terms of the technology and everything. So I would contend that it's not so much about looking around what's going on here in Florida, but it's looking more at what some of these teams are doing in Arizona.
And you know, the other thing that goes with that, you have to have smart people that know what they're doing. I mean, we can have all these great tools, but if you don't have the right people who know how to teach it and know how to really be able to expand its impact – then you're wasting everybody's time. I think that there's a real challenge now in trying to find people who understand what you're trying to do and can take you to the next level.
And this coaching staff is intact from last year. And as we've talked about, Chaim Bloom at the end of last season praised them for the work they were doing, even though the season was pretty much lost as far as there weren't going to be any playoffs. But he liked the way they kept working all the way to the very end of the regular season, even though we knew they were not going to the playoffs. Is that how good do you believe this coaching staff is? And you guys know they take a lot of arrows. When a team is not doing well, the results aren't there, the wins aren't there, the first thing that people do is they go after the manager and they go after the coaching staff. I happen to think that a lot of it is out of the control of a manager and coaching staff, that it's largely dependent on the roster. But how good do you think this staff is compared to, say, others in the division in the National League?
That's a good question. I think it's good enough where you have at least three coaches that are good enough to be major league managers. Youth is probably working against a couple of them. But I think they're very, very good teachers. And I think that's important for a team this young to make sure guys – are able to maintain the fundamentals and be able to take it to the next level. They're very good teachers, and that's something that we're starting to see more of because, let's face it, there are a lot of kids who got rushed to the big leagues that weren't ready, and we see them going back and forth. And I'm not just talking about in St. Louis. It's around baseball because they've missed a step somewhere along the way. So now coaches at the big league level have to go back to teaching as well as coach. And sometimes you can get away with it. Sometimes it doesn't work well. But I think with this group, and they've been together for a while now, they understand what winning looks like. They understand what losing looks like. And I think that in this case, they have more guys who have more wins under their belt as players, and they have the ability to convey that and challenge these players to be better. Man, you know, John Jay, classic example. John Jay and Victor Scott has said it countless times, John Jay – learn from Willie McGee, and Willie McGee learned from somebody else, and the history went on and on. But now John Jay is a guy who challenges the outfielders to be better, and we saw a marked improvement in all the outfielders last year, and I think John Jay had a lot to do with that.
Klaibs Ranja, I think we're going to see one of the most – I bring this up all the time, and I'll continue to bring it up because
until somebody says, yeah, you're right, Matt.
Yes, that's what okay. I'm going for. I mean, I need somebody to accept that I'm right. We have heard Chaim Bloom talk about the fact that he feels like it is an important part of development to master AAA before getting to the big leagues. That is not something industry-wide that is accepted right now. That goes to what Klaibs was saying earlier about guys being rushed to the big leagues. There's still going to be people who are on the fast track and are getting to the big leagues very quickly. I'm not naive to that. But I do think that this organization is going to spend a little bit more time finishing players in their development. You're not always finished. There's going to be development at the big leagues with just about everybody. But my prediction, and we'll revisit this 2, 3, 4 years down the line, my prediction is you are going to see consistently guys coming up from AAA look more big league ready than what we have seen in recent years with the Cardinals.
I would agree with you. And you know, I think the other side of that coin is, excuse me, the Cardinals have brought in some guys with some baseball experience, some big league experience, but we don't have the grizzled 8-12-year veteran guy that everybody thinks we need to have right now. They're having guys who are still good enough to get better, and they're basically buying this organization time to really try to make guys, if they have to stay in AAA for a whole season, so be it. We have a guy right now we think is pretty good. I think that's why you don't see a lot of long-term contracts being signed here either, because they want to be able to shuffle the deck if they need to and not be tied to a contract that's going to really put them in a bad situation. And they've moved all those contracts. So I think it really opens a door for them, as you mentioned, Matt, to really grow internally. And that'll also depend on what your drafts look like from now on, because the Heim Bloom player may be different than what John Mozeliak and his staff thought of what a player looked like. So I get the impression that we probably won't see many 5, 10, 190-pound pitchers. I get the feeling we will see more guys who can slug. I get the feeling that we'll also really stress defense more. But I think from a pitching standpoint, instead of the pitch to contact, we're going to have a lot more guys looking to swing and miss. And they can do that multiple ways, not just with velocity.
I want to talk more about the younger players graduating to the big league roster and when it is appropriate for them to do so, because there are a couple of players here that I think about the most when it comes to this very specific issue. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly are live from Roger Dean Stadium and Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals are getting ready for the
question for you guys when we come back.
Oh, I love that too. Want to get questions? We got all kinds of it. Jesse Rogers will have questions for him. He covers baseball for ESPN.
He'll
do this at 12:30. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Gas House Gang is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. We've got Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly in Florida, where the Cardinals are in the midst of spring training. I'm Chris Ranji back in the studios here at KMOX. And Claibs, before we go any further here, you said you had a question for us.
Well, you know, I know this is a big weekend for a lot of people with Valentine's Day around the corner. Wondering what you guys are doing. Well, you're stuck with me for Valentine's Day, so good for you. So what are you guys big on Valentine's Day?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm into it if she's into it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like that's
I have spent very few Valentine's Days with my now wife because
you're there.
Obviously spring training before I was doing this. More often than not, it felt like the college basketball teams I was broadcasting for would be on the road at Valentine's. So
you were hoping they were on the road.
No comment, but it worked out that way more often than not. So unfortunately,
so it's really not a big tradition in your household.
No, not much of a tradition. Right. You're a romantic.
Yeah, but I don't have a Valentine.
Okay, no. Well. You can find someone.
Claibs, the way I look at it is every day is Valentine's Day.
That's true. I've been blessed to have two beautiful daughters, and I'll just let it go with that. Just, I've been blessed to know a lot of ladies in my life. And as I keep talking, I feel like I'm digging a deeper ditch here.
So
I'm just going to cut off the jam right here and say I'm sorry if you bring it up for Valentine's Day.
I don't even want to talk about Jordan Walker anymore. It's kind of like this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Walker on Valentine's Day, and they're almost tied for first.
Hey, well, listen, if you're not into Valentine's Day in St. Louis, you've got the Mardi Gras parade tomorrow. So you can go get down with that.
What's the weather supposed to be like?
Not great. So it's been sunny for a week. It's supposed to be sunny on Monday and Tuesday. Tomorrow's like the one day it rains. But I don't know how much it's going to be, but it will rain starting late morning tomorrow is what they're forecasting now.
But is it supposed to rain all day?
I think so, into the afternoon, and then we'll see how much. I think they're also talking about it getting into Sunday as well. But, hey, get a poncho, get an umbrella, get out there and enjoy the day. You know what I mean?
With your Valentine.
That's right. Bring your Valentine with you. Yeah. I think we'll do that.
Or meet your Valentine.
Or meet your Valentine there. You just never know.
Hey, what a great place to meet a Valentine.
So, how'd you guys meet? Well, we met at a Mardi Gras parade.
She likes beads.
Weather
she
was crappy. So, she we got to know each other, and here we are, four kids later.
So many beads. So, guys, we're talking about... we're talking about the younger players and the Cardinals being really deliberate.
You know, we're about to lose Paulie over here, okay?
Is Paulie okay?
We're about to lose him. That last one just went right over the dam.
We're good.
Guys, be careful. Yeah, we were talking about the Cardinals being...
Too late.
They want to be deliberate with who they put on the roster, big league roster, make sure they're ready. And, you know, one of the criticisms, and this is sort of hypocritical, I think, of, you know, people like me and a lot of us who said when Walker was, you know, tearing it up in spring training and he's their number one prospect, like, you've got to put him on the roster. And there are a lot of people who believe that maybe he came up too quickly. So and I know they're different players, they're different guys. But could you see them now being a little more careful with J.J. Weatherholt, who a lot of people believe will break camp with them?
Yeah, but you know what? I think because he's checked boxes at every level in the minors, and he's more of a finished product coming out of college compared to being 18 and dealing with COVID and things of that nature in Walker's case, I think he's probably more big league ready at this stage than Jordan Walker was when they decided to bring him up, obviously. And you know, you make a good point, Chris. We were all enamored with Walker in spring training because he was lighting up the fastball, throwing, and that's all he was hitting. Season rolls around, he gets off to a good start because they're still pumping fastballs. Then somebody started to think about throwing him a slider or a changeup, and then things kind of went downhill. And he didn't adjust, plain and simple. You know, listening to Ollie talk and a couple other people who have seen him, they've all said they feel like he's kind of he kind of gets it now. Now, what does that look like as far as numbers are concerned? And I think that's what we're all anxious to see. You know, does he have a new batting stance? Does he have a different approach? You know, I don't know what his numbers should look like, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at him. I think they list him at 6'6", 270.
That sounds right.
And that's a pretty big dude that you think is going to do more than hit more than singles. So, and any time you see a person of that size, you think, well, he could be the next Aaron Judge. Yeah, he could be. He could be. I don't know. And I think I go back to the fact that Aaron Judge was a slow developer at one point in his career. They were all enamored with his size. And then all of a sudden it clicked, and he's one of the best players in the game now. So,
well, you know, Kevin,
we can get something similar to that.
Yeah. Klaibs, Kevin Wheeler was talking about this on Monday about guys like Judge who are just bigger, taller dudes, and it sounds like an excuse, but it might be true that sometimes the bigger guys just take a little longer to figure it out because of their mechanics, that it's more difficult to do.
In the hitting zone, there's so much more.
That's right.
More of a strike zone is a bigger target. Yep. You got to cover it. So. There's a lot of reasons on why, and Kevin, I think, probably hits the nail on the head as well.
And just going back to the original premise, I don't think that it's an apples-to-apples comparison, Walker to Weatherholt, for all the reasons Klaibs mentioned. Weatherholt, clearly, the type of swing he is, the type of hitter he is, that's going to translate to the big league level much quicker.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got this message asking whether or not it's true the Cardinals are thinking about keeping JJ in Memphis until July. And, you know, on these streams, we get messages like these all the time. And bluntly, I don't know where they're coming from, because right now, this Cardinals organization has never been more transparent than what they are right now. If Oliver Marmol or Heim Bloom says it, it's true. Like, they're not trying to hide anything from us, and they've made it very clear that J.J. Weatherholt is here with every opportunity in the world to win a job. That doesn't mean 100% sure that he's going to be on the opening day roster. I'd say it's probably like 90% sure that he's going to be on the opening day roster. He's a guy who would have to play himself out of a job.
Truly.
Where it just looks clear and obvious that he should not be on the big league
roster. Or if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I agree with you, Matt. I think he's a – you know, it'd have to be really something to go awry for him not to be part of this when we open up the season. Because your options are, and I think Jose Firmino has come a long way in a short period of time, but that's your option. And you want to use him as your utility guy, or Sejacy. And Sejacy and you know, they both bring something to the party, but not what you would look for on a daily basis. So, yeah, Weatherholt, I think, has a very good chance of being part of this from what he from the boxes he's checked everywhere else.
Klaibs and Pauly live from Florida, where the Cardinals are in the midst of spring training. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jesse Rogers, who covers baseball for ESPN, who just wrote about the new automatic balls and strikes challenging system that is going to be implemented for the 2026 season. We'll talk to Jesse when we come back on the Gas House Gang. Gas House Gang on KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line this afternoon. We have Matt Pauly and Mike Claiborne live from Jupiter, Florida. I'm Chris Ranji. And Jesse Rogers, who is also in spring training, but he is in Mesa, Arizona. He is with us now, and he covers baseball for ESPN. Jesse, how's it going?
I'm good, Chris. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I'm sitting here
in
the Midwest.
We're doing great, Jesse.
Yeah, you guys are – we got these guys in Florida. You're in Arizona, so I think you're all doing much better than me.
Jesse, you coming this way?
Today, actually. No, this year I'm
not. Are you coming this way?
Yeah, no, normally I do hit Jupiter, and I always love coming to see the Cardinals, but I am not doing that this year. The WBC has kind of messed up all our assignments, so I'm basically staying in Arizona most of the time.
So, Jesse, you wrote about the automatic balls and strike system, the ABS system, and the rules for that have been finalized in how it's going to work in 2026. So what are your biggest takeaways from what we know about the system going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one I think for fans is it's going to be fairly instantaneous. I mean, much quicker than a video replay. So don't be discouraged by, oh boy, another layer of delays here. Their math, at least according to the league, says it adds 1 minute per game. That's what the studies in the minor league showed. So I think we can deal with 1 minute. So that's good news. It's instantaneous, like I said. There's some little tweaks they mentioned yesterday we didn't know about. If you're out of challenges in extra innings, you'll get one per inning every extra inning. So they don't want a game to end, obviously, on an egregious call where, you know, 4 innings earlier you would have used a challenge on it. And who knows when you're going to go to extra innings. So that kind of makes sense. If you think about it, if you use it in the 10th, you get another one in the 11th and so on and so forth. So that's interesting. Players are going to be measured in terms of their standing height. The other option was to measure guys in their stance. But, of course, stances change. Your height's not going to change. I wish mine would change at my age, but it's not. So, you know.
You're going the other direction is what yeah. you're saying, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, and the strike zone will be smaller, which they're hoping will be more balls in play. They don't want more walks. Last thing, the walk rate over the last 100 years has stayed the same. The strikeout rate has increased. So they're hoping the walk rate doesn't increase. They'd rather have that increase than strikeouts, but they want more balls in play. Once the pitchers figure out the strike zone's a little smaller, maybe they'll be throwing more strikes, and which means more hittable pitches.
Hey, Jesse, one of the other things I think is going to be intriguing, and they haven't talked about it a lot, but the base coaches have to be in the box now. They can't be out left field or peeking and trying to steal signs. They have to be in the box. And so I know some teams are thinking about moving the box maybe a little closer to the dugout. But it's something that we saw firsthand in St. Louis when Ollie called out Craig Counsell on a Sunday night game about his coaches, you know, basically peeking. And I think this is going to be an interesting situation down the road.
Yeah, it's come to a head. Pitch tipping is a huge, huge part of the game now. Before Game 7 of the World Series, both the Dodgers and Blue Jays were explicitly told, keep your coaches in the box. And for people that don't know what we're talking about, it's guys walking up and down the line to get a peek into the pitcher's glove or just anything that can give them a hint on what pitch is coming. Because there's so much video out there, So you can't use the video in-game, but pre-game, you study it up, you send your coaches out there, they get a better angle walking up and or down the line, and they're able to relay that to the hitters through different means. I had someone tell me they used to relay it through the bat boy. They'd give the sign to the bat boy would give it to the hitter. Crazy. So
here's the question. Did he get a playoff share? Did the bat boy get a playoff share if they were successful? Yeah.
So what used to go into sign stealing, stealing the catcher's signs, they had droves of people looking into that. Well, they don't need them doing that anymore because of PitchCon. So all these front offices have personnel to study pitch tipping now, and so they're trying to curb it a little bit.
Jesse, how is it going to play out when maybe there's a really convoluted play, the pitch gets challenged, something else is being challenged on replay, maybe the pitch going one direction or another could have impacted what was else happening? It just seems like when you have two separate type of challenges, we're going to run into these type of situations where both are happening at the same time and they kind of impact each other.
Right. We probably can't necessarily envision the perfect one that's going to screw everything up, but we know it's out there. Like, there's going to be unintended consequences. I didn't really realize that if there was a stolen base attempt on a pitch that is challenged, the outcome of the stolen base stands. So you're safe, you're out, doesn't matter, even if the pitch is overturned. Now, if there is a challenge on the pitch and a challenge on the bases at the same time, the pitch will be adjudicated first, and then the challenge on the bases will be. The one kind of goofy thing is if a catcher, because the umpire calls ball four, stops playing, doesn't throw down to second, and then that pitch is overturned to a strike, what happens now? Well, that's where the umpire is going to be put on the spot. It'll be a judgment call. If the catcher truly stopped playing, the runner is going to have to go back to first. If he actually throws down and they make a play on him and he's safe, they might leave him at second base. So there's going to be some weird moments there on ball four or strike three calls that are overturned. But they feel like it's going to be very, very few moments where that happens.
Yeah, that was my question, and maybe I you explained it and I missed it. But if a runner steals second and tries to steal second, is thrown out on a strike three pitch, so a strike him out, throw him out situation, if they determine it's ball four instead, like it was a 3-2 count, does that runner get to keep second, or is he still out?
No, he's still out. If the play played out, he is still out. Now, of course, if it was a 3-2 count and it's overturned, he gets second because he would have, right. Yeah, he gets second in that case. But if it's 1-2 count and he steals and he's thrown out, he's out even if the pitch is overturned.
That does actually make sense. Jesse, as we are now into spring training, it's not inconceivable some deals still happen, whether it's a trade or a signing or whatever it is. Can you see the Cardinals at this point still making a move? And if so, what are you thinking and what are you hearing?
Yeah, I don't see anything big. And I haven't really followed if they would do something small. There might be some things to fill out their roster. Not hearing a lot about the Cardinals because they just did a ton of things, obviously getting rid of some guys and starting this full rebuild. Gallen and Scherzer are out there. They're not going to sign up with the Cardinals, right? That's not going to happen. I mean, Scherzer certainly won. The one caveat with Gallen, I guess, if the Cardinals wanted a starter, is he wants to go back in the market in a year. The problem is, this is so weird, I'm inside baseball a little bit, like most of the time we hear the phrase, there are no bad one-year deals, right? Well, there are when it comes with a qualifying offer. Nobody wants to sign Gallen for 1 year and give up a draft pick and see him walk. So this is the reverse of what we normally hear. Agents and players want security and teams want shorter deals. This is the opposite. I think Gallen wants the 1 year to go back in the market, and teams are saying, if we're giving up a draft pick, we need you for 2 or 3 years at least. And I don't think Scott Boras wants that. I think he wants to give him a 1 year opt-out or a 1 year deal. So that's why I don't see him fitting there. The Cardinals don't want to give up a draft pick for 1 year of Gallen. So I think it would be a minor move if St. Louis did something to fill out their roster, in my opinion.
Jerry, before we let you go, my question for you is this. Are we going to get started with baseball on time next year?
Yeah, I mean, not spring training, but I'm sure that's not your question. I don't know about late March at this point. I have to feel the vibe from the owners, to be honest. Are they going to the mat for salary cap? Then we're likely to miss games. Because even if we end up with a salary cap somehow, some way, it's not going to happen like by February 1st. It's gonna take the players kicking and dragging, kicking and screaming. But if I get the vibe that the owners will eventually relent, then that relent will come around, probably March 1st, and we get to the regular season on time. So it's really, to me, about the owners. Where are they? Are they united in a salary cap or bust situation, or are they going to talk tough and back off kind of like they have in the past? I don't know the answer to that just yet.
Jesse, speaking of the owners, I know Rob Manfred this week had apparently encouraged all of them to look into the prediction markets of companies like Polymarket and Kalshi. Giannis, we know, has now got an endorsement deal or an investor. I'm sorry, he's an investor with Kalshi. And this is different than sports betting, which is legal and teams are in favor of that. How much do we know about what interest there is with baseball and actually getting, they're already in with the sports betting. Would they get in with these prediction markets too, which are a little less regulated?
Well, they would, because they think that it's better to be in business with them to regulate it as much as they can, instead of it's like the legal gambling now. There's no way they could track, bookies that were doing work with players, but now they can track the legal gambling through these different means with Bet Rivers and all these places. I think it's kind of similar to that. We'd rather get in bed with them so we kind of have an idea what's going on and partner with them. They make money, I'm sure, and we make money off of it, but we also have an eye on what's going on, because otherwise it's the wild, wild west. So I see they're happening because I think they feel like it's been beneficial to be in bed with these gambling partners, because at least the Class A's and these players are getting called out a little bit. For every one they find, though, there's probably 10 that are getting away with it, but one's better than none. So I think that in their minds, it's going to make sense and probably make them some money, too.
Jesse Rogers, baseball insider for ESPN, as always. We appreciate you. Thanks, dude.
You got it, guys. Be well. Anytime.
That is Jesse Rogers joining the show. Here's one other thing about the ABS system, guys. If a position player is pitching, you may not challenge a call. How about that?
Love that.
That's
love
a good
it.
One.
Because at that point, you're just trying to get the game over with.
Yeah, that's right. Just,
yeah.
Little League rules at that point. If it's close, it's a strike.
Yep, exactly.
All right, Klaibs and Pauly.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm glad they're doing it. And if it does stand that it's only about a minute per game that's added, it won't undo all the great work the pitch clock has done for the sport. So that is also very good. Guys,
agreed.
From Florida, we will continue.
We're pro pitch clock here.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Oh, I know you guys are. Man, I am
so
jealous.
Get the heck out of here. That's Dude. What we're pro on.
When I was working baseball 10 years ago, I would have killed for a pitch clock. You guys are so lucky. You have no idea how good you youngs have it. It is the Gas House Gang.
I did plenty of post-game shows without a clock.
It's the Gas House Gang, back with Klaibs, Pauly, and Ronji in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly in spring training. I'm Chris Ronji. It's the Gas House Gang, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. We talked some offense here, at least a little bit of it today. And fellas, as the pitchers and catchers are already in camp and officially their workouts started yesterday, we know Liberatore will be in the rotation. We know Dustin May is going to be in. We think we know McGreevy is in. But what does this rotation battle look like here over the next several weeks?
Well, yeah, Richard Fitz, who they think can compete. Andre Pallante was here last year. Who else do we have, Matt?
Kyle Leahy and Hunter Dobbins.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the four. And Dobbins isn't fully healthy right now.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he's going to be ready for opening day, just kind of reading between the lines on some things we're hearing. So I think for those final two spots, it's going to come down to Fitz, Leahy, and Pallante, with Dobbins probably
starting in Memphis.
Yeah, and being given an opportunity later. And you know, Ollie talked a lot today, Claves, about Kyle Leahy specifically, and he said if he doesn't win a spot in the rotation, it's because he flat out got beat. It's not because he's not putting in the work.
Yeah.
They love Kyle Leahy. Yesterday, the big narrative here was about Matthew Liberatore and all the things he did in the offseason. So those are Leahy and Liberatore are two guys that really Ollie seems to light up when talking about.
I would agree with you. And I think that the competition for those back-end spots, I think the quality of pitcher, from what I see, is better than what it was last year. So that's a plus as far as I'm concerned.
And meanwhile, Pallante is just he's there. You know, he's been a part of the rotation,
yeah,
but people are talking about him like, you know, he's not going to be in. What is the likelihood he remains, do you think, though?
Well, I think it's a real likelihood that he's going to be part of this. You know, he was a guy that took the ball every fifth day. And that's something you just didn't see a lot of. Now, you didn't get the results sometimes that you hoped for. But I think he's, you know, worked on some things like they all say in the offseason. So we'll just have to wait and see. Let's put it this way. If Pallante is in your rotation, that means he's made some significant improvements. And he took a job.
Yeah, he has to win a job. And that's the difference from last year to this year. Last year, They had Michael McGreevy. That was the extent of their depth beyond the Major League roster.
Because Quinn Matthews was hurt.
Yeah, it just they didn't have anything. So this year, with all this depth, so we just mentioned nine guys that are in it. And then you have Quinn Matthews, Eshawn Henderson, Bryson Motz, Liam Doyle, that could all get to the big leagues at various times during the year. So if Andre Pallante is in the rotation, it's he beat somebody, which inherently means he pitched better than what he pitched last season. So I'm not concerned about Pallante, and if his spring looks the way he looked in the second half of the season last year, he's not going to be in the rotation.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, this is the time of year, as you know, that everybody's in the best shape of their lives, and Joel Pozo's been he's been tweeting. He lost a lot of weight.
I think he said he lost 30, I believe.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks really good. It's noticeable. I mean, it's hard to lose 30 pounds and not be noticeable, but it's noticeable.
There's only a handful of guys you look at them and just say, no, it's not going to work. We got one guy walking around, and I'm disappointed in what I see so far, so I'm going to let that go.
Is he on the roster?
You'll see. Yeah. You can't miss him. Can't miss him.
Come on, give us hints.
And he's not one of the catchers.
All right. And I don't want to just start throwing names out there. You got to.
Yeah. You know, I've got nothing to add on this one.
Oh, come on.
I don't either. I just said you can't miss them. We'll see.
All right. Well, I can't wait to find out.
What a great way to end the show.
That's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Stay tuned for next week.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll give you another clue.
And we'll find out if Ronge met his Valentine at the parade.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take plenty of beads.
I'll take photos, too. I'll send them to you. Not the kind you're thinking.
We don't see that. We're good. We're good on the photos. No, you keep those to yourself.
Enjoy.
I think I hear HR calling right now. I think they want to have a talk with somebody.
You think we have HR here? Have fun in Florida,
we
boys.
Might start one.
Have a good one. Next week. Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, Chris Ronge, the Gas House Gang. We'll be back at noon on Monday on KMOX.